This morning, what a great blessing it is to be in the Lord's house today and to know the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that he has a purpose and a plan in each of our lives. And that purpose and plan in our lives is so fundamentally predicated upon the differences between two things I want to give to us. And I want you to jot these down and take these home and never forget them. Because these two elements will help you to unlock the mysteries of the presence of God in your life. The first word is duty. 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 Duty relates to responsibility. What we do out of the overflow of our lives. Our duty is responsibility. The things we're supposed to do when our wife tells us to do it, we should get it done. Amen, brothers? Where the brothers at? Amen, brothers? Amen. All right. Amen, sisters? Amen. That's correct. That's duty. So today we're going to enhance a clear understanding of our duty. And to help us to be able to grasp the mind of God, the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what God would have us to do to really be the people that God called us to be. Because that is what it's all about. To be God's people in a present age, to do the work that only God can do in and through our lives. Our study today is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians 6 is our study. To help us to understand the uniqueness of this book, Paul's epistle, it is distinctly, uniquely related to, in essence, the book of Colossians. And when you read the book of Colossians, it's as if you're reading the book of Ephesians as well. They are sort of intertwined together. The distinctive difference is this. When you read those two books, the ending of the book unlocks a very powerful aspect for the body of Christ to understand the difference in what duty is, and it unlocks the element of the aspect of devotion. Devotion. Two words. Jot those down. Duty and devotion. Duty and devotion. Very uniquely important in unlocking the nature of Paul's epistle in those six chapters in that epistle, that epistolarian authority. An epistle, in essence, is a message, is a letter that takes on what is called epistolarian authority. What that means is this. It began as a letter written for a specific people at a specific time, in a specific date, at a specific situation, in a specific moment in history. The epistolarian nature of it, the epistle nature of it, is that we are now reading that same book as if that Paul just wrote it yesterday or even today. It takes on what is called epistolarian authority. Now, what does that mean? That means that we take on the authority of God, that we use that scripture to apply to the biblical principles of our life. It lives out the gospel in our life. We become gospel messengers, gospel-centered people. That word gospel, euangelia, it means good news and bad times. And we're in some very bad times. Amen? So we need the gospel, the good news that bring about change in the lives of people. Two words, duty and devotion. Duty and devotion. The first three chapters of the epistle of Ephesians, it deals with our duty. Our duty. Our duty. The last three chapters of that work deals with our devotion. And this is where we're going to land our plane today in capturing what it means to truly be devoted to the things of God and how to live out that devotion and how to live a life of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. How to be the people that God has called us to be able to walk through all the difficulties in life and know how God can walk us through those things and help us to be the people that God has called us to be. Would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? Ephesians chapter 6, and looking only at one verse and one word in one verse. Okay? Verse number 10, chapter 6. And that one word is this: finally. Let's say it aloud. Finally. Look at the person right next to you with a smile on your face and just say, finally. Father God, thank you so much. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my blessed Redeemer. In the name that is above every name, the name whereby every knee shall bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for Christ's sake. And if your heart said amen, amen a second time. Amen. Amen. Just one more time.
Amen.
One for the Father.
Amen.
One for his Son.
Amen.
And one for his precious Holy Spirit. God bless you. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk with us about how to fight a fixed fight. How to fight a fixed fight. You see, beloved, far too many of us as Christians, we do not understand how to deal with this aspect of evil that is moving in our midst today. There is an evil that is occurring in our nation today and around the world today. And as Christians, instead of standing strong in our devotion that helps us with our duty and our responsibility, that we don't understand that God has already given us the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that victory comes in understanding the simplistic teachings of Paul in his epistle to the church at Ephesus. Really, in essence, it was churches throughout that area in Ephesus that he was dealing with, helping them to understand how God would help them to deal with issues and deal with matters that were so important in that day that only the work of our devotion that comes out of our duty and responsibility, that God would help us to be able to deal with the things that come our way and dealing with evil at every hand. So Paul says it best, finally, finally. There are some things in our life, if we are focused on the Lord and have our devotion to him in right position, God will help us to deal with those things that we've been dealing with over and over and over again that seems as if it just won't go away. There are struggles in your life and in our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that God is telling us that we can declare the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus, but in essence, we never find the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ because we fail to do our duty and we fail to embrace our devotion. You see, beloved, the more we understand the relationship between duty, verse chapters 1, 2, and 3, and devotion, chapters 5, 4, 5, and 6 in Ephesians, the whole book there, we begin to embrace the very heart of God that it elevates our devotion to deal with that word that opens up in that sixth chapter, dealing with the power of the armor of God, finally. Finally. There are some things in our lives that we ought to just say, I'm done with that. Finally, no more shall I ever deal with that again. Finally. that God has closed the door on that struggle in your life. That God has closed the door in that area in your life that keeps coming back over and over and over and over and over again. The devil keeps doing the same old thing, the same old way, time and time and time again, wearing us down, causing us to lose the grasp of our faith and our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, and keeps us utterly and completely distracted. So, beloved, how then do we fight a fixed fight? I'm glad you asked that question. It's right in the text, right in the text. First of all, in that 10th verse in the text, and moving on into the essence of that verse that unpacks the heart of God, and verse 11 as well, it gives us six things that I want to give to us that helps us to be able to understand that following a finally, that God gives us the abilities to know how to fight a fixed fight. Number one, jot this down. Be strong. Be strong. The strength we need comes from God. So that's the second point. Be strong, then be in the Lord. You see, beloved, you'll never ever find the strength that you need until you're first strong and your strength is in the Lord. Number three, be strong, be in the Lord, be in his mighty power. In other words, operate not from a position of failure, operate in a position of authority. Operate in a conviction, in a position that God has already blessed you. Repeat after me, I'm already blessed. So number one, be strong. Number two, be in the Lord. Number three, be in his mighty power. Number four, be fully dressed in the armor of God. Don't miss any part of that armor. Be totally, completely, and absolutely saturated with the totality of the armor of God. So what's number one? Number two? Number three? Number four? Number five, be ready to stand. Be ready to stand. And I learned this as a kid growing up in a housing project in Mississippi. It isn't Mississippi, it's Mississippi. Folks who said Mississippi, they mispronounce it. It's Mississippi. Let's say Mississippi. That's right. Y'all got it right. Y'all from Missouri and you got it right. Mississippi. To be able to be ready to stand. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Okay, what's the first one? The second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one. And then the sixth one is, be aware of the devil's schemes. Be aware of the devil's schemes. You see, beloved, when we understand that we are in a fixed fight, when we understand that in God there is no failure, when we understand, as the hymnologist says so clearly, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I, all other is. So the more we're able to embrace the entire book of Ephesians, read that whole book and it'll bless you. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 is about what? Chapters 4, 5, and 6 is about what? So we have to balance our duty with our devotion. You show me a person who is devoted to the Lord and willing to do what God tells that person to do, they will carry out their duty. And the reason why we don't do our duty is because we're not devoted to our Lord. And the greater your passion, the greater your desire for the things of God, the greater your duty will be. The more responsibility that God can pour into your life, the more opportunities that God will give you to be able to stand and fight that fixed fight against the devil, his schemes, and all the things he's doing to the straws that tear down the church, the family, and all the relationships we have in the body of Christ. The devil is a boogie man. He's got a bad attitude. He's mad all the time. But because we're able to know volitionally and to know spiritually that the fight that we're fighting is already fixed. Now, African-American circles, this is what we do in African-American circles. When I would say something like that, everybody would start clapping. Come on. The music was so good that my Afrocentrism almost came out of me. And I have to remind myself, I said, Lord, I don't want to blackenize this whitewashed church. I just don't want to do it. But it was so good. The music was so good. I thought that Diana Ross and the Supremes was up there singing. You see, beloved, we have embraced a lie as opposed to embrace the biblical essence of the authenticity of the truth of God's word. So let's take a look at then, if that's so, what do we need to do to be able, as believers in the body of Christ, to prepare ourselves and being capable of fighting a fixed fight? We already have those six principles, and they are number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. Number six, number five, number four, number three, number two, and what's number one? Be strong. Isn't it very ironic that he uses the word strong as the beginning word in the text? It exposes the biblical truth of the authenticity of the nature of Christ, that when he comes into our life, he gives us a strength beyond measure. And for too many of us, we do not plug into that strength that strengthens us in the midst of life circumstances. We don't know how to do that. Where today, beloved, by the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you God's biblical strategy and how to be everything that God wants you to be and face the situation. I'm not saying you're going to be successful and get all A's. You'll learn through mistakes. Somebody said amen. Okay? But as you learn through those mistakes, God will equip you to understand that there is a peace that passes all understanding for those whose hearts and minds that are fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you need to do? Let's unpack that together. Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we are, verse 14. Let's take a look at that. First of all, the first thing we must do is to put on truth. We must put on truth. Put on truth. That word truth is the New Testament word aletheia. The word aletheia means the depth of deep understanding. that is predicated upon biblical truth and foundation. It gives to us the foundational principle of how to operate our lives in a world that is filled with no principles, that anything goes, that men can marry men, women can marry women, even men can have babies. No, not me. I've been there. I don't want to do that. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth, what? Buckle around your waist. This is what truth does. First of all, truth exposes darkness and brings light to remove the darkness. Truth exposes darkness with light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to anyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. The very foundational teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ in his sermonic renderings with the Sermon on the Mount. Here's my question to you this morning, beloved, to my family at Bethel. And y'all look just like me in the spirit. Is your light of truth shining through the darkness around you? Does your light that operates in the truth of God's word, do people know that you walk in the truth of God's word? Are you living in that manner? Is your light of truth pushing back the darkness? Is your light of truth blinding the eyes of the evil one? So when evil comes your way, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ literally pushes it back, because you're operating in the truth of God's word. Number two, how do you do this? We must put on the armor of righteousness. Put on the armor of righteousness. Now that word righteousness, dikaiosune, it means to be in right position at the right time, standing in the right relationship with the right place, with the right person, in the right attitude, in the rightness of God. Righteousness is a word of positional authority. Dikaiosune literally means to be standing firm on what is correct, and you will not move away from it. As my mother would say, come hell or high water. Y'all might not remember that. That's going back in the South. So with the breastplate of righteousness in place, the breastplate of righteousness protects our hearts. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 14 and verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So, beloved, our righteousness is about our relationship with Almighty God. You show me a man who walks in righteousness in his family, and I'll show you a wife who would celebrate and enjoy shopping on Amazon. Amen, ladies? Okay, you'll get that when you get home. Is your breastplate of righteousness in place of protecting your heart from foolishness, faithlessness, and fear? Number three, how do we do this? We must put on the armor of peace. Put on the armor of peace. The armor of peace. The armor of peace. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Learning how to lift your feet with the gospel of peace is not easy. Learning how to walk in the peace of Jesus Christ is not easy today. Our children in our schools today are being impregnated and filled with every kind of ideology that you can ever imagine. And the only way we can beat this battle, we must be fully equipped and ready to know how to fight, when to fight, and what we're fighting for. James 3:18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. Are you a peacemaker in your church? Or are you a peacebreaker in your church family? Are you a peacemaker in your home? Or are you a peacebreaker in your home? What kind of person are you? Are you fully equipped and ready to fight this fixed fight that's already been won and taken care of at Calvary? Number four. We must put on faith. Put on faith. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's verse 16a. Put on faith. God has given us the shield of faith to extinguish, get this now, the fiery darts of the devil. Have you ever been to a real good Baptist business meeting? You need to go to a good Baptist business meeting. You all don't have them like the Baptists do. I'm Baptist. We have some of the best fights. I'm telling you, it's like WWWD. You know what I mean? Going back in my days, like Cowboy Bob Kelly with the hippie hang up, you know, it's really serious. And sometimes it's only on the color of the carpet. You know what I mean? You heard about the church that divided over the color of the carpet, and they came up with a strategy through a long 25-hour business meeting. They decided how to solve the problem with the color of the carpet. You know what they did? One side of the church was orange, the other side of the church was green. And they solved it. The green folks sat over there, and the orange folks sat over here, and nothing sat between. Okay? Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible. Somebody say impossible. Somebody say impossible. Somebody say impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here's my question to you this morning, to my Bethel family. Are you pleasing God? Or do you say to the pastor when he wants you to do something and God lays on his heart and the elders and deacons that something needs to be done, and the first thing you say, I can't do it. I don't have time for that. Is that you? When these brothers have prayed and sought the face of God over it, and they come and say, we need to do something for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, no. Do you have faith in God to believe that if God puts something on the hearts of godly servants in the house of God, and I say that with great humility, standing here in this congregation today, because I've been so immeasurably blessed to get to know a number of you all, and my heart is overwhelmed by God. Matter of fact, one of the elders called me, and he asked me, he's out of town, I know his name, but come to me in a little bit. He said, you know, Doc, why don't you do a message on race relationship, since you do racial reconciliation? He said, our congregation is primarily white. I didn't know that. I'm glad he told me, but I didn't know it. And I thought about it, great, and I preached that message different places. And I have a ministry of reconciliation. I've done ministry. When George Floyd was killed, I was in Minnesota and did work there, St. Louis, Michael Brown situation, in California, there in Dallas there. So I have a ministry of racial reconciliation, but I want to tell you something. I just couldn't feel it to give that message to you all. You know why? Because every time I've been here and every time I bring my family member with me, every time, and when I told them where I was going to be at, they were so fired up. I thought they turned Afrocentristic. I really did. They got so hot. I'm telling you. Because they felt the presence of God in this church. Come on, give God some praise today. That felt real good. I appreciate that. So what's the first one? What's the second one? What's the next one? Okay. Now I'm going through these armors of God. What's the first one? Okay. What's the next armor? What's the next armor? What's the next armor? Okay. So number five is to put on salvation. Put on salvation. That's verse 17a, and it says, take the helmet, get this now, take the helmet of salvation. Wow. The helmet of salvation covers your head as well as your mind. It protects your mind from the fiery darts and the lies and the deceptions that come from the evil one to distract. It hinders the onslaught of Satan to say things about us that isn't true. Because Satan and the spirit of evil, he's a liar and he is the father of lies. I refuse to let him separate me from my twin over here. No, you know he is my twin. Did y'all know that? The only difference is when he came out the oven, God said he was done. But he came out the top of the oven. I came out the bottom of the oven. When I came out, God said, he's done. But he said, he's done. But for me, he says, well done, my dear. I love humor. It's so good. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's my question to this church. Do you have the mind of Christ? Or are you minding your own business? If you have the mind of Christ, you would have to tear this building down and build a building 5 to 6 times bigger and better than this building. Because people are looking for folks who've lost their mind to have the mind of Christ. And then number 6, got one more after that one. Put on the armor of the word of God. Verse 17b. And the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the spirit is the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Put on the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. In the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, and the word was God. It is the Logos word, which is the incarnate word of the person of Jesus Christ, as opposed to the Rhema word, which is the scripture word. So we have both the scripture and the living Christ all dwelling within us in the essence of the word of God itself. And then 7, and finally, put on prayer. and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel with which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I would declare it fearlessly as I should. Verses 18 through 20. Prayer in the Spirit is a prayer life that engages in talking consistently and regularly to God. James 5:16b says, "And the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word man could also be man or woman. Generically, it gets the job done. So let's take a test, okay? What's the first one? The second one? Third? Fourth? Fifth? Sixth? Seventh? All right, now let's take the next test. All right, on this fixed fight. What's the first one? Be what? Number two? Number three? Number four? Number five? And be number six. Beloved, I bring you news this morning by the grace of our Heavenly Father that we are fighting a fixed fight. There is no need for all this fighting. We have already won. Just declare victory in Jesus Christ and watch God do things in your life that eyes have not seen and neither have ears have heard what the Lord Jesus Christ has in store for those who love. The fight isn't yours. The fight has already been won. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to ask that the leaders will come up if they will. I'm going to give an invitation and do some challenging at this moment. And as the leaders come up forward, we're going to ask that you seriously listen closely to this invitation. Then I'm going to ask you to stand and come and don't look at the person next to you and don't ask questions. You just move as the Holy Spirit moves. Don't wait on your husband. Don't wait on your wife. Don't wait on your children. You do what God say do. And you're just going to come. I'm not going to talk with you unless you want to talk with me. You're going to come and just stand here with a bowed head and an open heart and declaring this victory we have in Christ. Here's the invitation. Would you stand, please? Every person stand. Listen closely. Listen closely. This is what your heart is saying. Lord, I'm tired of fighting. Today, I declare publicly in the presence of God, I have victory in Jesus. I've already won. Things may not be going well, but I have his victory. I have his victory. That's for the first person. The second person who might come, Lord, I heard your word. I embrace your peace. I receive that peace that passes all understanding. I got that. So if you're one of those two persons, come quickly right now. Come quickly right now. Come very quickly right now. Come quickly right now. Come quickly right now. Come quickly. Come quickly right now. Just stand here. Come quickly. Come quickly right now. I've already won that battle. Oh, I got peace. Come quickly right now. Come quickly right now. Come quickly. If there's one here today who is saying to God, Lord, I've got some business to do I need to take care of. I've been dealing with some things. And today I realize I got business to do. and I'm ready to do that business with you. Come quickly right now. If that's you, come quickly right now. Come quickly right now. If that's you. Don't let anybody or anything hinder you. Come quickly right now. Come quickly right now. Come quickly. And then finally, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus, that you from Jesus from the dead, that thou shalt be saved, that I'm ready to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to do it publicly, just surrender my life to Christ, you come quickly right now. Come quickly right now.